From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, April 19th. Coming up, before Wyatt Earp became a famous lawman at the OK Corral, he was a common crook in Peoria. We'll learn more about Earp's history in central Illinois from Tim Shelley in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Former Ukrainian ambassador Marie Yovanovitch is this year's winner of the Paul H. Douglas Award for Ethics in Government. The award is presented by the University of Illinois Institute of Government and Public Affairs and named after former U.S. Senator Paul Douglas of Illinois. In her acceptance speech during an online ceremony, Yovanovitch evoked an old Frank Capra movie while saying that public officials need to rebuild trust by simply doing the right thing.
I know that sounds a little bit like a Mr. Smith goes to Washington kind of a scenario. But here's the thing, it is possible. Mr. Douglas went to Washington, and he embodied that upright life we aspire to and that we want our public officials to uphold.
Yovanovitch served as ambassador to three Eastern European countries during her time at the U.S. State Department. She came to prominence nationally when she testified during former President Donald Trump's first impeachment trial in 2020. Champaign County is investing in interpretation services for immigrants who speak indigenous languages. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
Champaign County is home to one of the largest communities of Conjobal speakers in the United States. While many among the indigenous Guatemalan immigrants speak Spanish too, they may not understand important nuances in that second language. Corinta Maldonado is a University of Illinois clinical professor. She is leading the charge to train multilingual Conjobal speakers to become interpreters for others.
It's a matter of life and death. And I think COVID really pointed to that. It allowed us to see that, if you don't understand, the protocols, the safety protocols, it really can mean life or death.
Champaign County has set aside $250,000 in COVID-19 relief for both the Interpretation Project and Immigrant Mental Health Services. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Champaign City Council members will talk tonight about an agreement to give University of Illinois Police authority over an area of Campus Town currently patrolled by Champaign Police. University Police spokesperson Patrick Wade says the agreement would take stress off Champaign police officers amid a staffing shortage. He says it would also help U of I police serve students in an area where so many of them live, eat, and shop.
Our officers, because it's a university police department, are already attuned to the needs of students. So I think they can provide some very specific assistance that addresses those unique needs that college students have.
The city of Champaign would pay the university $840,000 per year to hire 7 new officers and pay for vehicles and equipment needed to handle the increased workload. If passed by the council, the changes would begin October 1st, and the program would be up for review in 2 years. Champaign County health officials report the number of active COVID-19 cases in the county is just over 700. That's down slightly from Sunday, but cases continue a general upward trajectory from their mid-March low of 50 active cases. Carle Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 13 patients hospitalized with COVID-19. None of those patients are in the ICU. Still to come, a look back at Wyatt Earp's time in the central Illinois city of Peoria. He wasn't exactly the legendary lawman he would later become. That's coming up next on 217 Today.
Hey, I'm Steve Bork, host of All Things Considered and senior digital media producer here at WILL. And WILL AM has been around for 100 years. 1922, we went on the air as WRM. And to continue kickstarting our next 100 years, we need your help. You can become a friend of WILL at willgive.org and help us reach $100,000 by April 27th.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Before Wyatt Earp became a famous Wild West lawman at the OK Corral, he was a common crook in Peoria. Earp's checkered legacy in the River City is one topic of Dr. Vicki Loberg's new book, Peoria's Bad Habits, which highlights some of the city's less savory characters and events up through the Woodruff years. Tim Shelley recently spoke with Loberg about Earp's time in Peoria.
He was a ne'er-do-well, actually, and they had bad things to say about him in the local newspaper. They called him a bummer, which is essentially another term for vagrant.
What exactly earned him that reputation?
Well, it goes back a ways. There were actually at one time probably three Earps in Peoria. The 1870 census shows his brother Virgil here as a bartender at a saloon in Bunker Hill, which was in the red light district. And Wyatt ran into trouble with the law out west. There are a couple different versions. One thought was that he was escaping an arrest warrant, that there was a warrant out for him for misappropriating money when he was the town marshal. He didn't put it in the school fund. And then there was another story that he stole a couple horses. So all of a sudden he appears in Peoria, likely attracted here because his older brother was here.
In Peoria at that time, just to set it, we're talking, what, late 1860s, early 1870s? It's kind of an infamous town, so to speak.
It was known as a wide-open frontier town, which is not uncommon during those years. It's very interesting, the Peoria directories list Wyatt Earp living in a brothel, Washington and Hamilton. It was Jane Haspel's brothel. There were many brothels. Peoria was kind of known for its red light district.
So what was Wyatt Earp doing in Peoria while he was here?
Getting in trouble. Basically, some historians suggest that he was also a pimp, recruiting prostitutes. There's not a lot on that. He mainly appears in arrest records. Haspel's brothel was raided by one, I think his title was either Detective Gill or Sheriff Gill, and one of the prostitutes who was also arrested at that time turned state's evidence to reduce her sentence or her fine, and then later she was found dead. And, of course, there were rumors that, well, perhaps Wyatt Earp had something to do with that. He was here not very prominent again until another raid, and he was arrested with his brother. His one brother, Morgan, seemed to be around with him. The two of them seemed to be getting in trouble and arrested. And so there were another series of arrests. They went to court, and Wyatt requested a change of venue. And he got the court date was changed to another judge who had never tried one of these type cases before. So I suspect Wyatt knew that the previous judge would have perhaps given him a harsher sentence. But so they paid the fine, and they were done. And then during another arrest, they didn't pay the fine. And so they had to go to jail. And the newspapers really played that up, that he had to spend time in the calaboose and so forth. And eventually after that, it seems that Earp left Peoria and went on eventually to have his fame at the OK Corral. And of course, no one understands. The whole image of Earp is based on the 1950s TV show Life and Times of Wyatt Earp, played by the very handsome Hugh O'Brien. And you know the song that says, brave, courageous, and bold, long may his story be told. Not so much.
What can we take away from his time here? Was that what impact did that have on him later in life, or did it have an impact on him later in life?
Not that we could tell, but he continued his association with prostitutes as he went further west, and supposedly was married to one that was mentioned there. I mainly limited my time to his time in Peoria, but it was amazing when you do read further ahead. That was just his style of life. That was his lifestyle.
That's Vicki Loberg speaking with Tim Shelley about Wyatt Earp and her new book, Peoria's Bad Habits. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see sunny skies today with a high of 52 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Noor Longhi, and Tim Shelley. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.